ceremony, present the news quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
And welcome to the news quiz. We start with an unfortunate juxtaposition of headlines in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, read by Diana Speed.
Sex survey puts Minneapolis on the map. Readers, we want your photos.
Our thanks to Jim Fowle from St. Paul, Minnesota, for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. We'll welcome first on my right, Helen Lewis and Alan Cochran. And opposite them on my left, Desiree Birch and Andy Hamilton.
Hello, welcome. Happy Friday lunchtime. What a sensible time it is to be doing this sort of work. Why on earth this is happening, and it is entirely Theresa May's fault. Everyone was sort of thinking that today was going to be a big day, the April the 12th departure, so loads of things got moved so we could be up to the minute. So we're going to be very up to the minute about nothing actually happening.
How are you, Helen?
Last night I had an anxiety dream that I was going to have to make jokes about Brexit. And then I woke up this morning.
You're going to love this. How are you, Diana?
I'm fine, thank you.
Is there any major news stories that you've reported completely incorrectly that we all now believe to be the case? Yes, we left the EU today. Well, worth knowing. Desiree, how are you?
I'm doing okay, although there was this one horrible day this week that I had to wake up at 9:30 to come and do a radio show. It was really rough. No, it was amazing, because I have a whole jug full of tea. I've officially crossed over, you guys. I'm one of you. It's Earl Grey. It's delicious.
That's what it is. You're going to need a litre of Earl Grey.
We're going to need it.
It's an extraordinary challenge to set yourself. do you take it with milk?
Non-dairy milk and honey.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Honey.
Ugh.
Yeah. I've crossed back over, been kicked over the Atlantic again. Yeah. All right, it's fine. It's scrumptious.
I'm glad you waited till noon, because I have to say, Earl Grey really is an afternoon tea. How are you, Andy?
I'm all right. I'm in a bit of a state. I had a bad journey in on the tube. I was put in a very difficult situation because they did that announcement saying, you know, that I had to report it if I saw something that wasn't right. And I saw a bald man with a ponytail.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that doesn't... I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, quite right. Yeah, I always pull the cord if someone's drinking a cup of Earl Grey in the morning.
Me and my wife were in Valencia and we were coming out of the airport. I saw the most brilliant piece of marketing. It was a big placard, advertising placard, and it was in English. Don't know why, but it was in English, and it said, "Erotic supermarket, why not?"
That erotic work. Supermarket, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect, goodness perfect piece of market.
Did you have to pay extra on your luggage on the way back?
Yeah, and I spent a long time in the six items or less queue.
Yeah. I know they're enormous, but technically there are only six of them. Okay.
That one was a grower.
Essentially unacceptable. Right, Helen, who's got a new extension?
Well, first of all, happy Brexit Day to you, Miles.
Thank you.
Very excited that we're leaving the EU today. Oh, no, wait, we're not. It's our second extension, and we've now got one until October the 31st. So Theresa May is going to, you know, probably go to the European Commission again on October the 31st, and I think they're probably going to do what I do on October the 31st when someone turns up asking me for stuff I don't want to give them, and turn the lights out and pretend not to be at home. But the thing is, Emmanuel Macron of France spent the whole of the summit saying, well, but what is it that you are going to do with this extension? Probably in a slightly more convincing French accent. And he's got a fair point. We have absolutely no idea what we're going to spend it to do. So we've got an Easter recess now. Then there's preparation for the local elections. Then there's European elections. Then there's the summer recess. Then there's party conference season. So I confidently expect to be back here in 6 months' time in exactly the same position. Labour team have gone into Downing Street to try and negotiate with Theresa May. But Theresa May's idea of negotiation is that you should agree to what she wants. That seems to be her kind of vibe about that. So I presume they're probably just playing ping pong on the cabinet table, passing the time. And the worst news of all is that David Cameron had promised to delay his memoirs until after Brexit. He's given up on that. He's publishing them in the autumn. He's come out of his shed. Yeah. He's going to grace us all with his wisdom. And Theresa May's former advisor, Nick Timothy, you might remember him as the architect of the dementia tax, has turned up again today saying a bit of good advice for Theresa May. The only good advice that Theresa May has ever taken was to sack Nick Timothy. I'm afraid I'm feeling quite morbid about Brexit because I think it's just going to go on forever. It is the waiting for Godot of political scandals.
Will it be a thing where we just every 6 months it sort of goes on again and eventually people will say, what was Brexit originally? That sort of Easter. What was it originally about, kind of thing?
I hope so. I brought along a little quiz, actually, I thought would be fun, that we might play.
I don't really like quizzes, as a rule. I think they're beneath me, but carry on. No.
It's a quiz about the news, if you will.
Yeah, no, well, no. If you've got an original idea, yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
I wonder if anyone could guess who, on the 11th of December 2017, said, what's the requirement of my job? I don't have to be very clever. I don't have to know that much. I just have to be calm.
David Davis.
Correct.
Wow.
It was the I don't have to be clever bit.
Yeah, I just think it's fascinating now to go back and read the quotes of politicians at the time, you know, the easiest trade deal in history. They'll be queuing up, we'll go straight to Berlin, they'll give us whatever we want.
Yeah, what was the... Was it Liam Fox who said, we could write the deal on the back of a matchbox?
To be fair to them, if they had just done no deal, you could easily write that on the back of a matchbox.
That's true. That is true.
£1.5 billion on no-deal planning. It turns out that we're not ever going to use, because neither we nor the European Union want that. And we don't even get to have a go on one of the ferries, because there were no ferries.
Yeah. I can't believe the extent to which you're talking this country down, Helen. Very, very sad.
We are the world leader in useless politicians.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes you proud, doesn't it?
Proud of that.
I mean, at the risk of playing devil's advocate, if you're going to criticise them for spending on planning, then the counterpoint to that is to not spend on planning, which...
That's... Glad to hear someone talking sensibly, not the sort of unsupported left-wing bias this programme normally specialises in. That's quite funny.
But that's like, it's sort of like planning for an octopus invasion.
Of course, you know why the octopus is invaded? It's because we hadn't planned for it and they knew. We've not been covering all the eventualities.
Are we not prepared for an octopus invasion?
I'm always prepared. I've got a really big net at home.
Yeah. I've got a griddle.
Yeah. Can I just explain to the audience, because this show is called The News Quiz, we are contractually obliged to talk about the news, OK? We don't want to have to make jokes about this stuff any more than you want to listen to it. That's what we have to do. And at least there was some movement this week, because the Prime Minister, let's call her that for old time's sake. I mean, basically, she's just a courier now. You know, might as well just give her a helmet and a motorbike. But she did go, you know, and she got us... The EU gave us more time.
It is funny that they gave us till Halloween, though, isn't it? It just proves my point that the whole Brexit thing is now beyond parody. Like, the fact that they went from around April Fool's time to Halloween. There's a bit of me that, you know, I have mixed feelings about Brexit compared to the rest of the comedy circuit. I think a lot of the comedy circuit are very, very Remain, to the point where I think they have lost a sense of irony. I worked with a comedian recently who genuinely said backstage, oh, God, every time I do my Brexit jokes, I lose half the audience. Slightly over half, I think. 52% I made it, but anyway...
I mean, Desiree, how do you feel about this? You must be excited to see what we're capable of.
The destruction you're capable of? Yes, it gives me heart. I mean, it's interesting because all the metaphors about it that we're kind of talking about, it is all just this very weird game right now. And it does seem like Theresa May is, I don't know a lot about poker, but it seems like she's pot committed. So you're just going to like not fall. Like basically for my friends at home who don't understand Brexit at all, I'm like, it's basically just Casino Royale, except for unlike the 2006 Bond film, everyone in this one is ugly. I mean, like, because I was just like, all the cast of characters, it's like Boris Johnson is a rancid potato that grew hair, and like Gove is literally a human cold sore. Like, he just shows up when we're weak and things are bad. Honestly, like, Theresa May looks like a Roomba that someone put a bowl haircut wig on. Okay, good. You guys have Roomba. If anyone doesn't know what a Roomba is, it's basically just this sort of automated Hoover that looks like a flying saucer and sucks at everything. That's what she's doing right now.
She is basically a Roomba, because one of the things that Roombas notoriously do if you've got a pet and your pet craps on the carpet is they just spread it everywhere.
It's said in the paper that the extension may mean that Theresa May can cling on to power for 6 more months. Do they mean cling on to no power for six yeah. more months? Like, she hasn't got power to be shushed in a library at the moment. Just really croaky, it's gone.
Do you know what happened? The day that she pushed for a Brexit extension was the day that we saw the first ever image of what? Does anyone know?
The big metaphor that they found at the edge of the universe.
Yes, the big metaphor in the sky. Yes, the first ever image of a black hole, which the one-way door out of our universe, which is that's currently her plan C, I imagine. I can't leave the European Union. I may just have to leave something slightly bigger and more.
I mean, it's hard to know what she can do. I mean, she's going to struggle with the cabinet for, which, you know, might as well use that term. I mean, it's really just 24 people in a room having a fight. But I don't know what options she's going to have. Well, apart from a bottle of whiskey and a revolver, which I understand Andrea Leadsom suggested should be put to an indicative vote. I don't see what.
I just hear a very strange noise, and they'll kick the door down, and she'll be trying to sort of drink out of a revolver. This is the news that Britain has been granted a flexible extension, which means between now and October the 31st, Brexit could literally happen at any time. The development follows weeks of parliamentary deadlock, where in indicative votes, MPs have rejected every kind of Brexit that's actually on offer, with the glee of a small baby knocking a Tonka truck off a high chair directly onto its father's testicles. This period has been dubbed a flextension, which is, much like the previous extensions, only Theresa May must end all negotiations with the splits. Jeremy Corbyn must retort with a pas de beret, and Marc Francois has to straddle a pummel horse, loosening what one can only imagine is an incredibly tight groin. The Tory right is still calling for a hard Brexit, despite not being able to agree on what that means. Brexit means Brexit is looking less like a policy and more like Allahu Akbar for people who wear mustard cords and call women females. According to reports, the DUP remained tight-lipped ahead of the EU meeting, but to be fair to them, they had just seen an unmarried woman riding a bicycle. 2 points to Helen. Desiree, have a listen to this. Desiree, who's been shown the door?
Oh, that
Ecuador.
Was a hot jam. Thanks for playing that. Yeah.
My complete pleasure.
I think this is the news that there is now a vaguely sex pest shaped dent in an otherwise perfectly good leather couch at the Ecuadorian embassy.
I think you mean an alleged sex pest.
So Julian Assange has been yanked out of the Ecuadorian embassy. And honestly, before we get into this news more, I just want to congratulate all of you, the British people, for yesterday, April 11th, managing to talk about something else other than Brexit. Well done. I didn't think you had it in you, you know, but at the last minute, you pulled out a trick. You pulled out the release the dove trick, you know. Although he came out looking more like they released the last duck in the Duck Dynasty. He looked like he'd been in there whittling some for quite some time. Basically, Julian Assange has had his amnesty there and the Ecuadorian embassy revoked, essentially. And there was when they got wind that they were going to do this yesterday. And that's when they went in and grabbed him. And essentially, there are people from the staff of the Ecuadorian embassy that are essentially attesting to the fact that Julian Assange was the worst house guest ever, right? He was just a terrible human being. Because, like, you got to think about when he showed up, he was probably like, hey, guys, it's just for a couple of weeks, just till I get my feet on the ground, preferably in South America. It's going to be fine, you know? And then the weeks turned into months, and he kept being like, you guys, mañana, 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 you know? But mañana nunca llega, right? He just, it's 7 years later, and he's still sitting there. And, like, he's terrible. Like, they said that he walks around naked, right? Or, like, half naked. So he's just sitting there, like, he's also skateboarding in the townhouse. He's playing football and skateboarding in the townhouse. So he's basically doing Ferris Bueller's Day Off in there. He's Tom Cruise in Risky Business, right? You know, he's got IBS or some kind of horrible smell. So he's walking around leaving cabbage farts everywhere. He's like eating everyone's lunches with other people's names on them in the communal refrigerator. He's on the Wi-Fi all the time, you guys. Like, before he moved in, they used to steal it from a Starbucks. Now they have to upgrade to fiber, right? He was terrible, and they had to shake him.
I'm impressed you did all that and didn't mention the accusation that he was spreading feces on the walls. That's...
Desiree's lady,
goes without
Alan.
Saying. Goes without saying.
There's
in
a
that
great
one.
Bit in the article I read that said she did not make it clear if he had used his own feces or someone else.
Because that came out today, not yesterday.
I don't know how
people
old
are going,
it
why
was.
Did they let it go?
He might well have been saving it in a Ziploc bag for all that.
I can't believe I'm asking this now, but. Is that corroborated? I mean, he's an annoying narcissist, as a judge called him, but that's not against the law, sadly, because then we could imprison Piers Morgan. But I just worry about, given that the tide has turned so completely and the president of Ecuador is so hostile, just some of the stories that are coming out, we just got to be careful that we're not getting, you know, getting a lot of propaganda.
The dirty protest is not corroborated, but the foreign minister of Ecuador, who seems to have a lot of time on his hands to make statements like this, said he did have a digestive issue that was quite unpleasant.
Well, on behalf of, you know, IBS sufferers all over the world. Yeah, I mean, well, they should have let him out of the room, you know. Is the
open
answer.
A window.
I mean...
I agree, but I totally agree with you, Andy. He does present a really difficult free speech challenge. It's like he's been perfectly designed to be like, would you defend someone's journalism despite this, this, this and this?
You know, I think it's fair to say he would be a difficult man to live with, and I don't suppose he got a leaving card. Although I don't think Hallmark do a sorry you're being extradited card. But, I mean, and if he was, you know, if it was a case of him being sent back to Sweden to face the charges that he ran away from in the first place, then you could, that would be right and proper. But I'm a bit nervous about sending him to America. And I know the American Justice Department saying, oh, no, he'll only get 5 years. But, you know, the American prison system, once he disappears, that's one of the worst prison systems in the world, as any armchair Netflix viewer can tell.
I agree with you, Andy. That's the problem. Totally. He should face justice for skipping bail, and he should face the sexual assault allegations again. What he shouldn't do is be prosecuted for journalism, essentially, because that has implications for all the rest of us. And I hate it. I hate having to defend the farty man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Americans actually don't want to try him for the journalism. They want to try him for computer intrusion, which is essentially hacking. But at first I thought it was sex robots. And then I thought, if anybody would be interested in sex robots, it is Julian Assange, isn't it? Been in the embassy's spare bedroom for 7 years.
Well, like, he's really, you're kind of like that kid in your high school who, like, everyone dumps on. It's like everyone dumps on Matthew, and, like, your mother taught you better. And one day you stand up for Matthew and you're like, look, Matthew's a person. He's weird, but he's a person. Just let him live his life. And then you give up a perfectly good lunch period to hang out with Matthew, only to realize you cannot stand every word that comes out of Matthew's mouth, because he's one of those guys who starts every sentence with, actually. And you're just like, seriously, Matthew?
Matthew, like, the worst part about Matthew is that he reminds you that you're no better than any of them, that you thought you were, but you're just as small and petty as all of them, and if you have to listen to him for one more minute, you're going to throw the school into the sun. All right? It's so overwhelming.
Are you and Matthew still in touch?
Yes. Matthew is what Facebook is made for, and have to comment on all of his stupid life goals that are happening. It's embarrassing. His kids look like dumb, ugly potatoes. It's awful.
I'm glad you brought up petty annoyance, because I've had a petty annoyance about Julian Assange for years, which is, why has he got an outdoor coat whilst he's been living in... When he does those crowing speeches from the balcony about charges being dropped, he's always got like one of those zip-up cool biker jackets. And I think, why? Three steps and you're back in your bed.
Marie Kondo would have told him that was a possession he did not need to keep hold of.
I put the bins out in shorts in winter, but he's got a bell staff jacket.
Yeah, but you're not afraid to flaunt what you've got.
Hasn't seen weather in 7 years. Like, I mean, clearly he's a man who's suffering from lack of sunshine, right? They cut off his internet access a year ago. So, like, even though he's the head of WikiLeaks, he has no internet access. So he spent the entire past year just screaming, "Alexa, play Uptown Funk," at a security guard named Gerardo, who has no idea what he's talking about.
I mean, if anyone could survive in that, I mean, he feels like quite an indoorsy person. Because he's a hacker. I mean, he's not... We keep calling him a journalist. He's, in a way, he's not a journalist. He's a hacker stroke publisher, like you say. And he's not actually a whistleblower. Like you say, it's Chelsea Manning who was the whistleblower who took the consequences of the whistleblowing. But it is, like you say, it is a worrying precedent if we just hand him over. Hmm. Will Trump be that pleased if they hand him over? He probably won't want...
He says he knows nothing about it.
Yeah, he says...
I can't remember this.
Wikipedia's not my thing, he said. But I mean, but it clearly was during the campaign. I mean,
WikiLeaks, yeah. Was it Wikipedia runs as well?
Oh, sorry, WikiLeaks, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, WikiLeaks, yeah.
I think Wikipedia probably was very useful for Donald Trump. This is the news that Julian Assange has been arrested at the Ecuadorian embassy and taken into custody. Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno has long made his opposition to Mr. Assange's stay in the embassy known, but was loath to lose the only person in the building who knew how to operate the skybox. Highlights of Assange's stay in the embassy included doing training sessions with Eric Cantona and getting Pamela Anderson to deliver his sandwiches. It was basically an episode of Noel's House Party that went on for 7 years and ended, quite rightly, in the brutal arrest of the main culprit. One Ecuadorian official complained of Assange's digestive problems and skateboarding, creating a heart-rending image of a suffering man being propelled around the embassy on a jet of IBS. Assange's departure seems like a victory, but how long before the Ecuadorians get empty nest syndrome, realise they no longer have anything in common and have to take up salsa just to while away the empty hours till death? Assange is accused by Ecuador of a number of unsavoury behaviours, including smearing faeces on the walls, and that's why when I list Casa Jupp on Airbnb, I always stipulate no stag parties, no international fugitives. 2 points to Desiree. Alan, who's got the urge to purge?
Oh, I think this is a Donald Trump story, isn't it? Because he has got rid of his Homeland Security.
Kirsten Nielsen.
How do you pronounce... Yeah, I've had a J in it.
Diana says Kirsten, and she's a professional pronouncer.
All right. Fair enough. I'll bow to your higher knowledge. But people are very surprised by it, somewhat ignoring the fact that Donald Trump's only activity before getting the job of president was to fire people. That was the one thing we knew about him.
It's supposed to be a Trump loyalist. Isn't she?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like you're a Trump loyalist until he's calling you at home in the mornings, like, we got to close all the borders up. And she's like, oh, that's a little bit illegal. And he's like, figure it out.
She was okay with separating illegal immigrants, but not refugees and asylum seekers. And he went, no, I want all children to be separated from their families. Sort it out.
I don't think he meant all children.
Well, that may be what he's building up to, though.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, he likes a child snatcher.
Yeah. He wants to...
I wonder how long it is before he turns on Ivanka. Well, there's a tweet that says, you know, loser daughter and failing husband have got to go.
All she has to do is turn down his sexual advances one more time.
He did a fantastic tweet which said, America is full. People are falling over the sides. And he obviously got some mental image of the United States as kind of car park. With a big sign up that says full, you know, and then it goes, oh, one space, someone has left, you can come in.
I mean, I don't want to be in a position to feel sorry for this evil, hateful woman, but, like, you have to be so hardcore to be a woman in any business whatsoever. And, like, she literally separated children from their families. She wasn't evil enough for Trump, right? And so now, you know...
Did she literally do that? She literally did that?
Yeah, she was, yeah, she was grabbing, screaming yeah. kids and just
she didn't have
them.
Staff. She literally did it.
She had a big crowbar. I've seen the footage.
Sounds like her time management is sloppy.
Yeah, she needed to
getting
delegate.
Somebody else to do that for
you know, you can delegate,
position.
Kirsten. No, yeah. It's much simpler if I just do it. It's very hard to explain what I'm doing to people.
You know, there is an initiative to keep other Fortune 500 companies from hiring people like her or Sarah Huckabee Sanders or John Kelly. Like, once they leave the Trump administration, they're getting these companies to sign, you know, a petition saying that they will not hire these people. So she's worried about what her job prospects might be after this. So I assume that she's probably going to return to her original calling, which is like, you know, going back to her gingerbread house in the forest and just putting children right in the oven directly.
Yeah, again, if I were to play devil's advocate here.
And you're welcome to.
If I was to, would they not defend their position by saying, well, we're trying to deal with illegal immigration. Legal immigration is still totally fine. And therefore, we've got rid of her because she hasn't successfully built the wall. And I appreciate there are a lot of people that say Donald Trump looks sexist at times. And I think this does look sexist. Because it feels to me like he sacked a woman because he doesn't think a woman can build a wall. And that's...
Yeah.
I've got an interesting historical question. I wonder if Donald Trump has ever written someone a reference. Because no one ever leaves his employment on good terms, no. Do they? If you said to Donald Trump, can you just write a reference for Jean? She's leaving. He wouldn't know what to
write. He'd be like, can I just write? What are you talking about?
What would he put down?
Maybe he puts paint on his hand and then just slaps it down. This is the news that American President Donald Trump has been criticised after several high-profile departures at the Department of Homeland Security. Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen has reportedly resigned because Trump wants to follow a tougher immigration policy. Trump has often accused Ms. Nielsen of not being tough enough. Yes, you might be willing to separate children from their parents at the border, but can you sit through a meeting in which the president eats six Happy Meals at once without chewing, including the toys? The resignations are being seen as a Trump purge, which is also the name of a costly procedure I once underwent in 2002 on the advice of Gillian McKeith. Unsettling, but not unenjoyable. At least 40 high-profile Trump administration staff have departed since he took office. Soon he will whittle the field down to just Mike Pompeo, who, in a televised live final, will receive a glass of champagne in a bubble bath and Trump's hand in marriage. 2 points to Alan. Andy, which little piggy sent children crying all the way home?
Well, this is a story. It's about, I think it was a screening of a Peppa Pig movie, and they played some horror film trailers, is that right, before the show? And I think I've worked out what happened here, because you're a cinema manager, and you're thinking, right, this cinema is going to have 500 overactive, hyper toddlers in it. It's a question of crowd control. You know, you're not allowed to taser them. So I think he thought...
Well, you can't do anything anymore, can you?
I know. It's health and safety gone mad. I think what he thought was, I'll stupefy them with some really horrific trailers, and that way they'll be very calm. That's what I think happened.
Well, I was thinking along the same lines, except for I figured that that was probably the only way the projectionist knew that he could keep the parents in the room. All you know, right. Because, like, when Peppa Pig comes on, like, I tried to watch the show just to figure out what's going on. The entire premise is some sort of entitled pork chop is running around like, me and my friends want to have tea, but we can't have tea without building an entire tea set. No, actually, all you do is figure out how to set some water on fire. You pour it over some leaves or some flowers or whatever the heck you have around. You sit around with a sense of superiority. Tea is served. I've saved you 57 minutes of your life. The show does not need to go on that long. And I realized that the show was probably that long because it's the 1 hour of the day that parents have to go away and know that their kids aren't going to run into the bedroom, and then they're going to have to give them a hasty explanation as to why, you know, rugby has to be practiced naked. Get the heck out. You know? So, like, this is a film. Stay with your children, people of Ipswich.
So much easier to understand us from the outside.
Yeah.
They can't... They're... Of the many things you said there, I think... Take it, isn't it? Aren't they 5 minutes? Andy, you're in Peppa Pig. It's like 5 minute episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of them being an hour, but maybe when they put adverts in.
I was 35. I don't know. Maybe it was 100 episodes stapled together. It seemed like the same thing happening.
It was probably a DVD, was it?
Maybe, but I was trapped there with somebody else's kids while there was banging happening against the walls. So now I know what it's for.
The big issue for me is this is the Peppa Pig movie and I'm not in it. My character, the elephant dentist.
Yeah.
They couldn't find a storyline for an elephant. He could have been shot by ivory poachers. Yeah. He could have had some kind of trans species affair with Peppa's mum. He could have done. Yeah. But no, he wasn't in it.
Is it maybe it's just because you're difficult to work with? Maybe they invited you to
words
the table
getting
read.
Round.
Table read. You went to the table read and absolutely kicked off about something.
I did. I did ask for the
state
full
of these biscuits.
I did ask for the full backstory for my elephant character, yeah. Which they were reluctant to provide for some reason.
Where did he train this elephant dentist? Where did he?
The very first one I ever did was the first series. You know, when they didn't have a budget, they recorded it on an urban farm, a studio in the middle of an urban farm in Hackney.
City Farm.
We were standing at the microphone. They go, right, Andy, can you do line 7? And they go, just wait for the chickens to calm down. Do line 7. They go, right, now line 19. Hang on, the pigs are kicked off. Hang on. It is quite easy to terrify
it's a real,
children.
Real rags-to-riches story, you're telling me.
I once inadvertently terrified a whole load of children. We used to do a show called The Million Pound Radio Show, and sometimes we began it with, in the days when you could do things before your signature tune, we used to pretend to be another programme. So one year we had Felicity Montague reading a Thomas the Tank Engine story, which got to a point where she said... And the fat controller told Thomas he was late and he didn't like trains that were late. And Thomas thought, I'm not having this. So he ran over the fat controller and went backwards and forwards and squished him till he was a red pulp all over the rails. And, you know, the audience in the auditorium laughed and it all seemed, you know, it went into the show. But, of course, went out at tea time. We got quite a few letters from from parents saying that their children were now in therapy. Easily done.
Have you been through a Peppa Pig phase, Alan?
I have seen Peppa Pig over the years, but I found it weird, the horror story, because one of the mums that was in the audience said that she'd covered her children's eyes and explained that they're silly films for mums and dads. I thought... Why's she taking the time to smuggle in a review of horror films? A bit weird, isn't it?
I've blessedly never, ever seen any... I'm sure your performance is wonderful, Andy, but it's lost on me. I've never seen a single Peppa Pig. I know.
Oh, well, you've got a lot to catch up on. It's very... I have to say, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Andy, but I think your work in that programme is actually very moving. And it's,
I'm very rarely in it.
I had a bracelet made saying, it actually says it's quite enormous bracelet, actually. I have to wear it around my midriff, but it says, what would Andy Hamilton in character as the elephant dentist do? And that's how I get through life, actually.
Yeah. But I still haven't won the BAFTA for best cartoon elephant. So
no,
it can't
but
be that good.
Have you been shortlisted?
Oh, that bastard Barbar keeps beating me.
And you don't like him because he's not even British, do you? You think it's just ridiculous, it's just disgusting.
He's a foreign elephant, yeah. Yeah, It's a home county's elephant, for goodness sake.
What's not to like? This is the news that young children were reportedly left frightened and tearful at a screening of Peppa Pig, Festival of Fun, after two age-inappropriate horror film trailers featuring dead bodies and swearing were aired before the feature. The Ipswich cinema apologised to the trailers, which were meant to be shown before the mother and baby screening of Saw 5. One mother said her child had been left really subdued since the experience. So, due to popular demand, the trailer will be shown until the end of the month. It's the Empire Cinema in Ipswich, perfect for the Easter break. You think that's scary? Wait till Pepper finds out what'll happen to British pork exports after a no-deal Brexit. 2 points to Andy. Helen, who's been making a beeline to the opticians?
This is the worst story of the week that makes Brexit look like a happy, joyful tale. A woman went to the hospital because she had irritation in her eyes, and there were bees in her eyes. Yes, that's exactly that horrifying. But I should correct you that I sort of thought honeybee-sized bees, and I thought, well, you think you'd notice them. Yeah. They're very small bees, but in a potent metaphor, they feast on tears.
Yeah.
Which is the worst story I've heard since another one where someone went to whatever the ear doctor is called and said, something terrible happening in my ears. And they looked down it and eight eyes looked back at them. Wow. Yeah. Someone had a spider in their ear. But it turns out...
I thought they had four people inside. Jeez, that really is.
I thought they had eight cyclopses inside.
But it was very lucky she was wearing contact lenses so she didn't rub her eyes, because it turns out if you have bees in your eyes, it's a really bad idea to rub them, grind them into your eyes. And they might have released venom that would have sent her blind. But they didn't. Happy ending. Yeah.
Well, it's an uplifting story.
There was the extra happy ending, according to the scientist, because he was able to remove the bees without harming any of them. And he did this thing where it was like, it's just a case of the bees being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The bees? The bees? And it's just like, okay, well, the bees are now resting at home and recuperating. They ask you to respect their privacy at this difficult time. And I think Netflix is approaching the bees about being in the third series of Queer Eye. Thank you, that was solid punmanship. Thank you. Queer Eye, come on. Karamo can be there. Like, you guys are just a strong, beautiful, black, metallic, lesbian sweat bee. All right, say it after me. You're giving me stings. You're giving me burns. You're giving me blindness. You are giving me the first position at the Q&A. You are fierce, girl. Work it. It's going to be so great.
Presumably, these bees are so small you can't see them. Otherwise, she would have looked in the mirror and thought, oh, I've got bees in my eye. So, I think it's quite nice. It's kind of pet, really.
Yeah.
It's got to be quite rare because we've not had it on the show before.
Yeah.
It's in the news.
It's got to be rare enough to get into the news.
Yeah.
Do you want me to cheer you up, Andy?
Yeah,
You've got living on your body right now loads and loads of stuff that you could probably name. So you've got eyelash mites live on your eyelashes that are so efficient that they don't actually excrete anything. You've got face mites living on your face. And when you live with someone for a long time, your face mites and their face mites migrate to each other.
Aww, romantic. Nice.
Oh, I thought you meant just Andy. Do you mean all of us?
Terrifying.
I think that's we're actually not individuals at all, are we? We're just sort of territories. I think that's rather nice. These are amazing animals. They treat human beings as salt licks. That's
right. You're a very low rent petting zoo.
Yeah. Yeah. They're called.
Not the first time I've been called that.
One of TV's great elephants.
Top five.
This is the delightful news that doctors have found four bees living inside a woman's eye. The incident happened when the woman was tending her family graves. So the moral of the story is, of course, always burn your dead. This is typical of the untamed outdoors. You nap for just 1 hour in the garden and come sundown, you've got a badger working its way into your deck shorts. Of course, getting a bee out of an eye is difficult, but not as difficult as getting one out of a flipping conservatory. Get out of the door, you idiot. It's right there. If you can't get hold of Sweat Bee Honey, you can enjoy the same experience for a fraction of the price by inhaling deeply in a TK Maxx changing room. 2 points to Helen. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they would like to share? Helen.
This is from Naomi Bishop in Leamington Spa. She heard it on BBC Radio Stoke. Stolen sausages. Two thieves have broken into a church food bank in Stoke-on-Trent, causing damage to the locked kitchen and stealing bread and sausages. Police say it happened just after 8 last night in Fenton, while the Slimming World group was being held there.
Alan.
I have one from The Guardian, seen by Eric Sheldon. There has been a dramatic change in our diets in the UK in recent years, with more than 3.5 million vegans as of April this year, according to one survey, and many more are experimenting with flexitarianism. Retail has quickly caught up, with Sainsbury's, Tesco and Waitrose beefing up their vegan offerings.
Desiree.
So, Chris Perkins in Inverness saw this eBay advert for a motorbike. Extremely sorry to have to sell this beloved bike. Happy to answer any questions, but by email only, as I am abroad. However, my wife is available if you want to go to the house and have a look. Could ride home, but probably better to trailer away.
Dr. Elephant. Andy.
This is from Colchester County High School for Girls Parent Weekly Bulletin, sent in by Brian Walton, and I chose it just because it bewildered me. It's the Dead Poetry Society. For all poetry lovers, bring a poem to read or simply come to listen. All authors must be dead, unless the author is yourself. I don't understand, but...
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Desiree and Andy have 4, but this week's winners are Helen and Alan with 6. Before we leave you, here is a film review from The Times, sent to us by Shelley Lawson from Surrey.
In The Gentle Giant, the much-loved actor Armie Hammer, 6'5" tall and with size 15 feet, shows off another big part.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra were Helen Lewis, Alan Cochrane, Desiree Birch and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Miles Jupp and the news was read by me, Diana Spees. The chair's script was written by Madeline Brettingham, Laura Major and Katie Story, with additional material by Edward Chu, Catherine Brinkworth and Kat Sadler. The producer was Benjamin Sutton and it was a BBC Studios production.